Hello, world. It's the ladies of Nerditude again. My name is Jill.
And I'm Francine.
And this week we're going to talk about how weird Nevada is.
Yes.
Kind of continuing the Area 51 extravaganza
it's
for
true.
Independence Month.
Yeah, it's true. It's a good follow-up to our last 2 weeks. And I think it highlights another thing that we're nerds for, which is like history and, you know, like what do two history nerds do when they have to travel across the state the long way?
The long way. The cool way, as it were.
It wasn't very cool. It was very hot.
Well, yeah. But I mean, like the other way is kind of boring.
I've never been the other way all the way.
Trust me.
It's not exciting.
It's a lifelong Nevadan. I can promise you not a whole lot going on over there.
Yeah, I can imagine. But it was my first time traveling the state at really in any direction, like all the way, pretty much end to end. So that was an experience. It was new.
Right. So for reference, we drove from Reno, which is in the northern part of the state, to everybody's favorite city, Las Vegas, because I'm in the process of moving back up here to Reno from the hellhole that is Henderson. Which, I mean, actually, it's, you know, it's not that bad of a city. It was just like, I just had a really bad experience. 5 months was enough. Fuck this. I'm out. So, Francine was gallant enough to go with me.
I'm always down for a road trip. You
and
know
I
that.
Was like, yeah. And I was like, look, we could stop at Area 51. We could stop at ghost towns. We could go visit the ladies at the brothels.
Just full
for research purposes, not for police reasons. But, like... And just keep on driving through Luning. Don't stop. Don't do it. Just keep going.
Keep your doors locked. So if you live in outside of like the West, a lot of people in my experience, like I'm from the East Coast, and they think that Reno and Vegas are close together. So if you never thought about it before, grab a map or your favorite map app. Look it up. They're about 8 hours apart. Stuff out here is really big.
I think Nevada is the 8th largest state.
Yeah. People don't realize that, like, California runs most of the way up and down, like, the East Coast. So if you were to go from, like, Florida to, like, Pennsylvania, that's, like, the length of California. It's really big.
California is huge.
And then Nevada sits, like, in that curve of California. So that means Nevada's pretty big, too.
Yeah. We're pretty gnarly. And there's, like, not a lot to... look at. Like, if you drive through California, it takes you a long time because, because I've done that drive too, but there's always something to see. Like, oh, look, there's the ocean. Oh, we're in another little town. Oh, look, there's some trees. That's cool. Whereas Nevada, it's like, so there's some sagebrush. Cool.
There were donkeys.
And I mean, I think Nevada's pretty, but I know a lot of people from out of the state will say, oh, it's really brown and purple here, and I'm really bored.
Yeah.
But I think if you know what you're looking for, it can be very pretty. And we got cool mountains.
Yeah, I had a great time. I thought it was fascinating. I've never seen a Joshua tree in real life. Like, I thought it was cool. So,
it's like Dr. Seuss looking tree. Yeah.
It's like it wants to be both a shrub and a cactus at the same time, and a pine tree, so it doesn't know.
It's a funky little, I don't even know why they call them trees. It doesn't look like it. It's a whole thing, but it
doesn't really provide any shade, but I could see why it would grow in the environment that it does. Cause we were pretty much in Death Valley and that is really hot, really dry normally, although it did rain on us.
It did.
Cause somehow we travel to like the hottest part of the United States, like the driest portion of the country, and it rains.
You know what? I'm okay with it because it dropped the temperature.
That's true.
So that was nice. So, okay. So if you've ever been to Reno, a little bit of a more mountainy type place. We've got like Lake Tahoe and we've got pine trees, and then you slowly go down to Vegas. Like, it just, like, the foliage gets thinner and thinner, and everything goes from purple to red.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's, like, an eight-hour drive, so we left at
5-something.
Which was late for me, but, you know. And our first stop was Goldfield.
Yeah. Which I was really excited about when I realized that it was, or when you told me that it was on our route, because I was like, oh, like, haunted ghost town city. I am in. Like, we have to stop. And the weirdest thing that you pointed out was there were, like, no people. Mm-hmm. Like, we would drive through these like, towns in Nevada, and there was just nobody outside.
Right.
It's very creepy.
So, if you go from, Yerington to Fernley to, or from Reno to Fernley to Yerington, and I think Yerington's, like, the last place you really see people.
Yeah.
And then after that, you, like, drive through, like, Schur's and Walker Lake, and every once in a while, you might see somebody camping at Walker Lake, but after that, it's like, where is everybody?
They're all staying inside away from the heat.
Yeah, and the first couple of times I drove down to Vegas with my dad when I was moving in to Las Vegas, he was the one who pointed it out to me, and he was like, and I'm from a really rural part of Nevada. Mm-hmm. But when you drive through my hometown of Gerlach, you see somebody.
Yeah.
Usually.
At least there's, like, people on their porches, yeah, or, like, walking from point A to point B, or, yeah, like, getting into their car, something.
You know, out of the 200 people that live there, somebody's usually out. But, like, I don't know what the deal is when you're driving through the rest of Nevada, but when we're driving through Goldfield, I was like, do you see anybody?
No. I didn't see a person. Not a single person. Nobody walking down the street, to and from their car. The mail, like a post office mailbox, like opening a shop. I know it was early when we were there, but nothing.
Mm. And you see their cars and stuff, mm-hmm, which I always think is weird because you see their cars, but I'd never seen a person in Goldfield until this time we were there.
Yes.
So, I mean, if they were people, they could have been ghosts.
It was pretty creepy. Mm-hmm. So let's tell you the story. So, Jill was nice enough to pull over so that I could get out and take pictures of the outside of the Goldfield Hotel, which is one of the most haunted places in the United States. It's a gateway to hell. I really wanted to see it. It's old. There's really nothing in it. Like, it's non-operational. So, I assume, and you know, you're not allowed to go inside. Generally, it's locked and there are no trespassing signs everywhere. So, my plan was to just take pictures of the outside because it's got a pretty cool outside. We'll put some pictures up on the web for you. Mm-hmm. And as I got out of the car and crossed the street to take a picture of the facade on the front, I heard voices and the door was open. Ooh. And instead of freaking out, which probably would have been the, like, self-preservation thing to do.
By the way, I stayed across the street.
Jill was like, I'll be right here.
I'm a little stitious, so.
But I saw the door was open and there was a woman inside. So I decided to ask her if I could look around. So I told her that I had training as a historical archaeologist, which is true. Mm-hmm. I was not making that up. And that I knew a lot about the hotel and the history of it, and that I thought it would be, like, really cool if while they were working inside the building, I could maybe take a quick couple pictures, like, just take a quick little walk around. And she told me that the owner was there, who turned out to be a very, very deaf, very elderly man, but super nice. He was so sweet. She said, if he says yes, you can go wherever you want. So I proceeded to very loudly explain to him what was going on, and he said yes. And you kind of, like, moseyed on in,
well,
I guess.
I saw you kind of start to walk in, and I was like, she's going to fucking trespass, and I'm going to have to go over there and be like, hey, like, please don't shoot her. I was worried about you, so I went over there.
I don't have the best self-preservation instinct sometimes.
I know, that's why I was like, hey, what are you doing? Just because the door is open doesn't mean go in.
I figure, what are they going to do? I walked in with a big smile on. I didn't look threatening. I was like, hi, this building is fascinating. Nobody's going to yell at me. That may not have
you
been
don't
the
know my people.
May not have been the smartest thing to do, but it worked.
It did. I was very surprised.
He was super nice. Turns out he went to the same school as us. He went to the same university. He has a background in mining, which is very, very big deal in Nevada. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of like what a lot of people go to school for. And it's a huge industry here. So we sort of chatted a little bit. And it turns out they are renovating the first two floors, at least. And they are planning to reopen it as, like, a public space with music and dancing. And so they were in the middle of actually remodeling, and there was, like, machinery and stuff all around. So he said, sure, walk around. Nobody took us around.
No, they just were like, whatever, don't die. Okay.
Yeah, don't fall in any holes. Go that way. So we did. And how did you feel being there?
Creeped out.
Creeped out.
Because, like, I've always really loved history, mm-hmm. and I like to think about, like, I don't know what's happened in that space over the years, but, like, if you grow up in Nevada, all you hear about Goldfield is how haunted it is.
Mm.
And I'm pretty superstitious, and I've had, in my opinion, experiences with mm-hmm. ghostly type things. And so I was kind of nervous to go in there because I was like, well, I don't know who else is still in here. And the Goldfield Hotel is supposedly one of the gateways to hell, mm-hmm. which I'm shocked this hasn't been on Supernatural yet.
I know. Nevada doesn't look enough like Canada for them to get away with it.
They've been to Vegas. They just went at night.
Yeah,
so you
can't inside
tell where they're at. But yeah, it's according to local legend, it's one of the reasons they shut it down.
Really?
Yeah. So because it was so haunted. Mm. Now I don't know how true that is, but like growing up, these are the stories that I heard.
Sure.
And then I'm sure a lot of people have seen Ghost Hunters.
Mm-hmm.
So those guys are from Virginia City, Nevada, which is right outside of Reno.
You mean Ghost Adventures?
Is it Ghost Adventures? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, whoever. The Ghost guys, they're from Virginia City.
Yes.
And so, and Virginia City is like also one of the most haunted mm-hmm. places in America. It's right outside of Reno. Nevada's like,
we're full
whoa.
Of weird, like, ghost like, towns with actual ghosts.
Yeah.
Like, not like, just ghost towns, but yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's like they maintain the look of, like, the Old West mm-hmm. and everything. So between Virginia City and Goldfield, those are, like, the two of the most haunted places. And so, you know, you hear all the stuff. And there's, like, I actually have a book. It's by, like, a local author. And it's called Haunted Goldfield.
Ooh.
It's, like, just ghost stories about Goldfield. Uh-huh. I'll have to lend it to you. It's scary.
So you had all this baggage going in.
Yeah, so going in, I was like, I don't really. Like, honestly, if you hadn't been in there, I wouldn't have even stopped. Like, it just creeps me out.
So I kind of, like, forced your hand to come.
Like, it's like how I went to Alcatraz. Like, I was kind of excited, but I was also kind of horrified.
Yeah.
So just because I don't know who's still in there.
You don't want to pick up any hitchhikers. This is not Disney.
Yeah, and so, you know, but it was really cool to see, like, the old tile and the pillars that mm-hmm. they had. And then there was, like, the thing that freaked me out was the creepy staircase that went down.
It was really dark.
And it was just pitch black. And it was like, nope.
Like, we won't be going too close to that doorway. Yeah.
No way. And I mean, like you said, there was nobody there to stop us. Mm-hmm. All I could think was, like, what if I, like, put my foot down and I just fall through the staircase or, you know, whatever. Or whoever's waiting at the bottom of the stairs. Like, I can't.
It was also the middle of the morning. Like, it was daytime, thank goodness.
And
otherwise.
I mean, I'm sure I just, like, psyched myself up, but I felt kind of queasy being in there. And I was like, I don't like it. But it was still cool. Because we got to see where they're going to have the dance floor mm-hmm. and where they're going to have the bandstand, which I thought was kind of funny because I was like, it's 2018, you have a bandstand.
They want to put live music in there. That's...
I know, but then I was like, oh, yeah, it's Goldfield, which mm-hmm. if they're going to do it the way Virginia City does it, everybody's going to walk around dressed as if it's the Old West. If you ever go to Virginia City, it's really cool. They have, like, cowboys just walking around.
Mm-hmm. With, like mules and everything.
Yeah.
Like, it's the whole, they go all out.
Spurs, and they invite you to go to the duel later. It's all big.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really cool they're trying to revive Goldfield.
Yeah.
Because it's smack dab in the middle.
It needs it.
Like, there's not really, because they don't really mine there a whole lot anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like everybody just drives through like we were.
Yeah. Like, on their way to something else. So it'd be a nice thing to have to get people to stop. And I noticed that as we went through those sort of larger towns, that's a relative term, that's Tone why I'm pop. Laughing, is that they all have that sort of, like, historic, like, Goldfield days and, like,
mm-hmm.
all of those kind of things. And so they're trying to kind of celebrate the history of the town, but there's not a whole lot in a lot of those towns. So if they can revitalize the old buildings, repair them, reopen them, it's going to be another reason for people to travel and celebrate the history of a really cool state. Like,
well,
it's pretty neat.
So many people are, like, ghost fanatics.
Mm-hmm.
And because that place has been closed for so long,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure they will get a lot of people who are very interested in visiting it once it's open again.
Yeah. We randomly just kind of, like, stumbled upon the opportunity to go in.
Yeah.
And when you posted it online, people were like,
oh my God,
how did you get in there? We asked, like, it was the right place, right time. Because mm-hmm. when we drove back through there, everything was closed and boarded up. Nobody was around. And so we were like, whoa.
Ghosts.
We hit, yeah, assuming that they were real with their, like, scissor lift.
Did you touch any of them?
I did. I shook the old man's hand.
All right, well, he was real. The others, I don't know.
That lady opened the safe for us.
Yeah,
we got
to see their original safe.
Mm-hmm, from the hotel lobby. It's got the original columns that were put in when the building was built and first opened in, like, 1907, 1908. They had the original elevator from the building with the with the etched glass and everything. It was very cool.
It looks like pineapples.
Kinda, yeah. It had like a pineapple-y pattern. The original, it looked like original carpet on the staircases too, and like original tile. So I could only imagine what the rooms on the upper floors looked like. We did not go up the stairs.
I was not, like, I was curious, but I would not have gone up there.
No. It looked like everyone that was working was on the first floor, like the ground floor. So I felt more comfortable staying where the people were.
Well, just like ghostliness aside, I was like concerned for like safety reasons because it has been closed for a long time. We don't know the last time somebody, like, there could be a hole in the floor or something. So.
Yeah, and we didn't bring, like, any, there was no electricity running in the building that I saw. Like, obviously they had power tools and stuff, but it didn't look like the other floors were lit at all, and we didn't have flashlights with us, so I was like, we're gonna stay.
That was the problem, we didn't have flashlights.
If I had a flashlight with me, I might have gone up those stairs.
Like an episode, that's how Scooby-Doo episodes start, okay?
And then they never saw her again. Yeah, I don't know. Live life, I guess. Take the chance.
Sure.
This is how we balance each other out, because...
Right? Hey, maybe don't go down that staircase, okay? No, it's fine. We'll just go halfway down.
Yeah, I'll just go a little bit down there just to see.
We'll both die together, right? in that place, but... Yeah, so we meandered there for about 10, 15 minutes, and then... headed on out for the next stop. But so another cool thing about Nevada that a lot of people forget / don't totally understand is how many brothels there are.
Yeah, as long as you're outside a big city.
Yeah, there's a lot of rules about it. So, like, if you ever watch it in a movie, it's like, they always make it kind of seem like they're in Las Vegas, but you can't have a brothel in the city limits of Las Vegas. Fun fact.
So you have to go right outside of the boundary.
Yeah.
And then you can pretty much do whatever you want.
You can go see the Shady Lady, which has bed and breakfast and free Wi-Fi.
Like you do.
So does the Wildcat Ranch.
They live to serve.
Yeah. And so what did you think when I pointed out, hey, there's a brothel out in the middle of literally nothing?
I was a little nervous for the... because... I didn't grow up here, so it's a new thing for me to see, and they're definitely older buildings, you know, some of them in, like, better shape than others, and they're sort of in the middle of nowhere. Like, you can't really have them too close to the town, and the towns don't really, like, want them, even if the town is small enough, so they've got to be sort of isolated. So you just kind of come upon this, like, big sign, and I was surprised by how close to the highway they were. Like, obviously that makes sense, right? Because part of the business is going to be truckers and people that, like, are driving up and down the highway. But I was sort of surprised. It was like pulling off and going into, like, a gas station, you know, like about the same distance from the road as, like, your average gas station or diner. And that was closer than I had pictured in my mind. Like, I thought, oh, you drive down this kind of long road and it's, like, set back from the highway. Nope. You can, like, see the building right from the road. And that was surprising to me. The signs were creative. I will say that the names and the sort of, like, little themes of the places were entertaining. It was a new thing for me. I hadn't.
It's different. It's definitely. I don't know. I'm probably the only state that does that, I think.
Yeah, I think this is the only state that where it's still legal, technically.
Yeah, it's not. It's funny. It's not legal in Washoe County and in Clark County, which is where Reno and Las Vegas are, respectively. Which you would think it would be legal in Vegas, because pretty much anything goes in Vegas, but...
Too many people. Know. They don't want you selling your wares too close to the...
Oh, yes.
you know.
Yeah, so you can do all the other stuff in Vegas. But yeah, there's four or five in between Reno and Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Lots of pink. More pink than I expected, like...
Well,
the whole building was painted pink, and then like the sign was pink,
pink or
and
red
the,
is usually
yeah.
The color.
I was surprised. I guess I didn't think of it being so like because that stands out, you know, amongst the like the brownness mm-hmm. of the landscape and like that kind of that grayish purple like mountain. So this bubblegum pink building like really jumps out at you.
Yeah,
that was kind of surprising. Mm-hmm. But again, I didn't see any people. Like, we saw cars.
Well, they weren't
everybody
like
was inside.
Outside.
Yeah.
Like,
everyone was inside. So.
I'm sure they were praying.
Yes.
So.
We did not go in to any of them.
We did not. Although it was tempting at the one at Area 51, mm-hmm. which is alien themed, and they gave free tours.
They did.
And Francine and I are both very. Interested in the psychology of all of that, mm-hmm. like how does it work with your like customers, like, you know, because if you ever read a book about it, a lot of them say that they only like the guys only want to talk to them,
mm-hmm.
so I had questions about things like that, but then I was like, no, I'm not going in there.
We're not gonna go in there and like ask them to explain everything to
yeah,
us. They're just at work,
like,
you know,
anthropological questions about your position career here. But yeah, so there's, when you go to Area 51, there's a lime green gas station, mm-hmm. Area 51 Travel Center, and I've stopped there before and didn't ever realize that in the back there is a, I think it's called the Alien Cat House Brothel.
Mm-hmm. And it was another really pink building
it
next
sure
to
was.
A super lime-colored building, so you really can't miss it.
Hey, color schemes.
But you had never noticed it before.
Wow.
They're like attached to each other. It was,
right
there.
I was there to get gas and a hot dog, okay? I wasn't.
You weren't really looking around.
I wasn't really looking around. And plus, what time of day? I was probably caffeine deprived or something. And I was just like, whatever. Just what's your gas price? And
right.
A little alien on the shelf, whatever. Because, like, again, growing up in Nevada, it's like how I tune out slot machines.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just like such a thing where, or neon lights don't do anything for me. So bright pink, whatever, probably just, and I think their sign lights up, but it was just mm-hmm. like, I don't know, it was one more neon sign, whatever. I go to a casino, I hear nothing, and
yeah.
I'm just like darting through the slot machines because I need to get to wherever, and everybody else is like, oh my god, do you hear, oh my god,
just stop and
so
like
crazy.
Look around, you're like,
look at that
on.
One's like Gilligan's Island themed. I'm like, whatever. So just yeah, I'm you know,
you've
whatever.
Got the blinders on.
I do. I'm sure it's like when you're in New York City and you're just like pushing through the crowd, like
yeah.
You probably don't see people anymore. It's just like,
and everyone else is like, look at how tall the buildings are. I'm like, yeah, yeah, I got stuff to do. Come on.
Yeah. That's how I feel. It's just like, yeah, okay, cool. You could win $1 million. Sure, whatever. Somebody will, right? Totally. Mm-hmm.
Yes, they will. We are supportive of the Nevada gaming industry.
Mean, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, everybody's like, oh, let's stop and put in a quarter. Yeah, you do that.
Mm, like you're,
I'm keeping my quarter.
Yeah. You've lived here too long to give a quarter every time you pass
yeah,
$1 million slot machine.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. But so we cruised on past the shady lady and the wildcat,
mm-hmm.
and we stopped in Beatty, which is the gateway to Death Valley.
Yes, yes. I definitely never thought that I would be driving through Death Valley. That is not something.
Yeah, we hit the edge of it. We didn't go through it, but
that is not something I ever thought I would do. And they happen to have a giant candy store
mm-hmm.
in the Beatty gas station sort of area. And it's called like Death Valley Candy and ice cream or
sounds
something.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah,
it?
It's a very ominous name. I had to take a picture and send it to my brother. He thought that was really funny. But that was a pretty cool candy shop. We didn't buy anything, but oh man, that was big.
Yeah.
It had like every kind of candy ever.
It's huge. And yeah, they've got, I mean, you probably have to challenge them to be like, do you have? And they'd be like, yeah, we have that.
It's in aisle four.
Yeah. And I mean, it was just aisles and aisles of candy. I would say it's probably bigger than, it's the biggest candy store I've ever been in. I mean, unless you go to like, I don't know, FAO Schwartz or something, but.
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely been in some big candy shops. Water in my throat. But never one that large. Like, I think that's bigger than like Dylan's candy store and stuff like that in New York, and like the big Hershey store and stuff. They have a lot of candy, but it's all the same kind of candy. You know, like you go in the Hershey store and it's all Hershey's candy.
Makes sense.
This was like every type of candy.
Jawbreakers, root beer barrels,
yeah.
Gummy worms. I mean, honestly, I couldn't find anything that
it went on forever.
Yeah. I mean, and then they also, because it's also a gas station, they also had like the Snickers bars and the Twix. And so you even got into like the candy bars, not just like hard and soft candies.
Right. Know.
So, yeah. But so that's the gateway to Death Valley. So you need a sugar rush before you run off into the extreme heat.
Yeah.
Also around Beatty are our friends the Donkeys.
Mm-hmm.
So, or Burrows, or whatever you want to call them.
They were so cute.
They are cute, but they are everywhere, and they are not they afraid are. Of people.
No.
And they just wander up and down the main road of Beatty, just doing their donkey thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, we stopped and took a picture of one that was hanging out next to the Beatty sign.
Yeah, it was like eating what looked like trash from the burger place next door. It was just having itself a little party,
hanging out behind someone's car.
They would not have been able to move their car had they tried. I feel like that donkey would have been quite stubborn.
Oh yeah.
And that's just like
how they are.
I was here first. But I assumed when we first encountered them that they belonged to someone. I was like, oh, it's like a herd of donkeys. You know, like you'd let your cattle loose like to graze and then you kind of collect them back up at the end of the night. So I said, how do they, Jill, you're my expert in all things Nevada. How do they like get them back to where they live, like, you know, put them back in the barn or whatever.
I was so confused when you're asking me that.
Like, how do you herd them back together, you know? Because I'm assuming they must belong to people. For what? I didn't really think that far, you know? Like, why do you have a herd of donkeys? I don't know.
They don't.
Yeah, and that's the answer. They don't. They're wild donkeys, which was very surprising to me. I mean, I've lived in northern Nevada for almost a decade. I'm used to the wild horses. I never really thought about wild donkeys, but apparently that's a thing.
It is. They are left over from when everybody was pioneering and running across America with all their animals. A lot of them, if somebody died on the trail, like their animals went loose. And also I think donkeys are native around here, if I remember right. But like the wild horses, that's what happened.
Yeah.
So, donkeys, though, I mean, there's some up here in northern Nevada, but not a lot. Because I remember I was telling you this story about I was trying to learn how to drive stick shift out in Gerlach, where you literally can't run into anything. And my Aitichi, my grandfather, and I were, like, trying to drive down this dirt road. And there's just a bunch of donkeys in the middle of the road, and we honked at them, and they just were like,
whatever, man.
Whatever. And they just, like, I mean, we sat there a good, like, half an hour before my Aitichi was like, fuck this, and turned it around. So they just don't care about people, honestly. Whatever.
They're just going about their business. Yeah.
But they're the biggest concentration that I've ever seen of them is in Beatty.
There were a lot. They were kind of everywhere, which I think helped me think that they were a herd, because obviously they kind of like they tend to cluster together. So it just looked to me like cows or like someone's horses that they own. I was very mistaken. You thought that was really funny.
I did.
My non-Nevadan was showing.
They don't belong to anybody, actually. Who wants a wild donkey?
I don't know. I don't know what you would use donkeys for. I don't know.
To pull stuff.
Yeah. Honestly. There you go.
Or a lot of people have them as pets.
They
like
are
kids.
Quite cute.
They're cute. They look a little scroungy sometimes. But yeah, mostly like, I mean, anybody I knew who ever had one, it was for pulling something.
That makes sense. Like a little donkey in a cart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could, like, pull, like, an old-fashioned tractor kind of hoe thing. I don't even know what the hell it's called, but you can use them to help plow fields.
Sure.
That's about it, really. Otherwise, they just kind of stand there, and they're like, ugh, you again. And if you have enough of them, they can pull a wagon.
Mm.
So.
They're useful and very fuzzy and cute, they and I like are. Their ears.
And they hang out by Joshua trees, usually.
They do.
Which, so much shade.
They were sort of clustering underneath, like, anything that was shaded, because it was really hot, and I felt kind of bad.
Well, we were in the gateway to Death Valley, so weird. But yeah, and then after that, there's, you know, numerous military bases.
Which really just, weird.
Yeah.
I never... Yeah, a couple prisons. It's Nevada, you guys. Everything you've seen in the movies is true.
It is.
Just a little less...
A little less extreme.
Extreme, yeah. It was, like, more sort of chill. A little more low-key than how it appears in the movies. But it was definitely all there. The military bases with the, like... double triple fences and all the signs that say like no trespassing, don't
do stop,
yeah, like don't go over here, nothing to see here guys, just keep driving, that kind of stuff. And some buildings, a lot of stuff was not marked,
no,
which always makes me think like what's going on in those buildings, like I want to know. But unlike what I did in Goldfield, I am not just going to walk into those buildings and like
I really wouldn't do that.
Knock on them. Hey guys, what you doing in here? No.
And that was the last time we ever saw Fancy.
I was curious, but I wasn't that curious.
No.
So.
Well, Nevada's like 70% owned by the U.S. government. So there's actually, even though it's a really big state, there's actually a lot of places you can't go. And Area 51 is definitely one of those places. And so right before you hit Area 51, though, there's... What did we decide that base was called? It was an Air Force base.
Oh, I can't remember what it was called.
It was like Birch or something
Yeah, something like that.
Preach? It had some kind of ch base, but it's one of those places. It's in Indian Springs, Nevada, and it's just another place where I would always just drive through it and not really pay attention, because you're probably not supposed to pay attention.
Right. Everything's painted... beige, so that you gloss right over it.
So you drive through the base and the Paiute reservation that's right there, and then it's Area 51 and a couple of prisons. One I believe is maximum security, and the other one I think is medium security. I'm not really sure, but there's around if you go through Las Vegas on the other side, where they have the seven magic mountains, those neon rocks. There's another prison over there. And I think that one's minimum security. So it's like right next to a hotel. It's like,
you get all the different.
It's concerning. But yeah, there's a lot of prisons in Nevada. So I'm always used to don't pick up hitchhiker signs. And I just think it's funny because you're like, why are there like all these signs like, don't pick up hitchhikers? Well,
do not stop for anyone on the side of the road because they might be an escaped convict. That sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
That's why Nevada and Arizona are usually the feature of the terrifying trip through the desert.
Yep. But all I could think of was Con Air the whole time we were driving past that prison, set of prisons. It was very unnerving. I always that's one of my fears, is like driving along the highway, like a desolate country highway, and sort of like someone coming out of the, like that kind of crazy hitchhiker is like one of my fears. So that seeing the signs and like them pointing out to you, like don't stop for anyone.
I told you that happened to my dad, right?
Yes. You want to tell the story?
Sure. I can't tell too much of the story because I think it's still going to trial. But,
sure.
Basically, my dad was driving home from Reno, so it's like a two-hour trip through the middle of nowhere to get to my hometown from Reno, which is where my family does their grocery shopping. He was driving home, and some guy popped out of a bush.
Oh, no.
And tried to wave him down, and my dad was like, nah, seems a little iffy, so he calls 911 and just keeps driving. Turns out that guy was a wanted murder suspect.
It really happens.
And they had reason to believe that if my dad had stopped the car, he might have killed my dad and taken the car.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, it's very like you really, I mean, I always kind of get pissy Nevadan when I watch those horror movies and I'm like, that doesn't always happen here. But I honestly would never pick somebody up here.
Yeah.
Because you really don't know mm-hmm. who they are or what they're doing in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it is possible it could be just somebody whose car broke down, but he didn't have a car.
Yeah, like, where's the car? Where's he car? Popped out of a bush.
Yeah.
You know?
So I can understand. I would say that's a legit fear that you have.
It definitely makes me uncomfortable.
I wouldn't pick somebody up.
Yeah.
We saw a couple of people try and flag us down, and we mm-hmm. were like, nope.
No, thank you. Two girls in a car, like, driving down the highway. We're good.
Nope. So there's, you know, some prisons, and then there's Area 51, which has all the alien gas stations and mm-hmm. the little, like, trinket stores and everything, mm-hmm. but also places where you can't stop. They do not mess around there. It's around the Pahrump area.
Yeah, you will get arrested.
So Valley.
Don't tell anyone that we sent you if you get in trouble, because we are expert advising you right now.
Don't
do it. If it looks like a place where you shouldn't be, you probably shouldn't be there.
Well, they've so got signs.
Just don't do it. If you pass a sign that says, hey, turn back now, turn back.
They've got signs, and there's usually a nice gentleman with a rifle who will mm-hmm. tell you to go the other way.
Possibly a dog. Possibly. Definitely camo. They all wear that sort of desert camo mm-hmm. and carry very large weapons. Yeah. And they will tell you when you cross the line
oh, yeah.
into a spot you're not supposed to be.
That makes you aware.
It's a little scary.
And so then we cruised on through to Las Vegas, which was pretty uneventful because it was really hot. And
it was really hot.
It was hot and we don't have money and I was cleaning up my apartment. So we were kind of boring. And then I was like, oh man, I don't have TV or internet. So we went and visited one of my friends that's still mm-hmm. down there. So that was interesting. And then while we were there, there was a flash flood.
In Vegas. Seriously.
It's monsoon season.
What did they call it? It started with an H. I don't remember the word.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
There's some word for it. Like the monsoon season in Vegas. It has like a name.
I don't know. I just always heard it as monsoon season.
Someone said it to me after we got back, and I was like, oh, is that what they call it? I don't even remember.
I don't know. I know they're called gully washers. Does that help?
Well, that's a very descriptive term.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it was like. There mm-hmm. were all these like little rivers, because you told me Vegas doesn't really drain.
No, the way right? they built the city, it doesn't have proper drainage. So even a little bit of rain can be a big deal, because the first week that I lived down there, they had, I would call it a light drizzle, and everybody flipped out. And I was like, what is everybody freaking out about? And then there was all these videos that came out of like mm-hmm. the strip was flooded. And I mean, water everywhere, because it yeah. didn't have anywhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
So the strip was flooded. The airport, which is where I live, was next. I live next to the airport. That was flooded.
Mm-hmm.
People didn't know how to drive in
mm-hmm.
it. And
yes.
so they were flipping out. I was the only person who got to work on time that day.
Because you know how to
like,
drive.
What the hell?
Yeah, you know how to drive in the rain. And everyone mm-hmm. else is like, I can't. It's crying from the sky. I don't know what's happening.
It's too funny because like, so we both went to the University of Nevada, Reno.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever encountered this, but I always loved when the students from Las Vegas, it was very apparent who they were. Because
yeah.
it would snow. It snows in northern Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you'd see, like, from your dorm window, you'd see everybody, oh my God, and they'd all run outside and they'd want to play in the
snowing.
Snow. And they're like, oh my God. And then my friends who were from Vegas didn't know how to drive in the snow, so mm-hmm. they were freaking out. I had to take them places because they were afraid. But yeah, they wanted to make, like, snow angels. And I remember this one girl that I knew, she was like, I didn't know it was going to be cold.
Snow
and wet, and I was like, it's frozen water.
Who are you expecting?
No, that's funny. But yeah, so there was like a flash flood there and multiple lightning strikes, so there was a weather warning that was issued. And my friend who still lives down there, he's like, really, you brought this with you? Because like, it was fine,
it wasn't our fault.
Yeah. But it's still going on down there, so
mm-hmm.
it's an adventure.
Yeah.
To go through a flash flood in Las Vegas. And I was almost like, I don't want to drive back to my apartment
mm-hmm.
because, again, I know what I'm doing, but I'm going to be on the road with people who don't know what they're doing, and that's never fun because people already drive crazy there.
Yeah, that is true. The driving was a very stressful, endeavor.
There was some cussing.
Yeah, there's a lot of traffic. It's like a very commuter heavy city, and there's a lot of people
under construction.
Yeah, and a lot of construction. So that was exciting.
Well, and we weren't there on a Friday or a Saturday night.
True.
That is another ball game altogether.
Yeah.
Because that's when all the drunk tourists are out.
No.
And that is not a good time.
I'm sure.
And if, especially if you're on the strip.
Mm-hmm. It's a very dangerous
place
to drive.
First of all, trying to find parking is a bitch.
Yeah.
And then you've got the bachelor parties and the bachelorette parties and the I'm turning 21 birthday. That's just a disaster.
It's a lot going on.
I know that everybody's like, oh, it's days in Vegas, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no. Not when you live there. It's like, yeah. Oh, people are so annoying.
You're just trying to
stop throwing up everywhere.
Stuff. Yeah, you're just trying to, like, live your life in a tourist town. Like, because really it is. It's a huge, like, tourist city.
It's a very touristy place, which is one of the things I didn't particularly like. Which, I mean, like, I expected it, but I didn't expect as many creepers as I ran into. But that's a whole other thing. So we didn't really get to do a whole lot while we were actually there.
That's okay. It was very hot.
Yeah, it was very, I'm like, it's a different kind of heat.
Yeah, for sure. It is. Whew. Like, high desert is where we are in Reno. Mm-hmm. And it gets hot.
Oh, yeah.
But it's dry heat, which is nice. And it still cools down in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That, like, classic, you know, desert, hot during the day, cool at night.
Yeah, because you can make it till 7 p.m. You're going
to
be fine.
Yeah. Like, as long as you make it till the sun starts to go down and the, like, breeze picks up. And then it drops, like, it could drop 30 degrees and be in the 60s, even if it was in the 90s. Down there...
No.
Not so much. It's like 100 degrees at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
Like, it never cools off. And that was something I didn't expect. The first time I went down there, I was not prepared. I was like, oh, it's a desert. It's going to get... So I brought, like, a hoodie. I was like, it's going to get cold at night. No. Oh. That was very wrong. So pro tip, if you're ever going to Vegas and it is a warm time of the year, which for them is, like...
Most of the year.
Most of the year, yeah. Probably from, like, March through, like, what? October is pretty warm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to stay warm throughout the day and the night, as I learned the hard way. So it was pretty warm. And we knew that we had to get up the next day and, like, finish all the packing and the cleaning that we were going to do. You're welcome. Anytime. Because our goal was to get out of there before it got, like, really hot and we had to drive back.
They issued heat warnings, which... I don't know. I kind of felt like maybe you thought I was crazy because I was like, we got to get on the road. It is like 5 a.m. and like we should have been gone already and everything. And I was like, I mean, I feel bad, but also like that can actually kill your engine. And all I could think was we're going to get all the way to Vegas. We're going to be on the freeway where there's a fuck ton of construction. And we're not going to get off the side of the road.
The car is just going to be like, I'm done.
I've seen it happen.
Terrifying.
It is. When people's cars, like they're. You're like your hood just pops up and all this steam rolls out
like a cartoon when your car stops working.
But we didn't want to be doing that, so
with our luck it would have happened right outside the prison.
Oh my god. Yeah. And then so I was like, okay, so the next morning let's get back on the road before it heats up again, because I think that was the day it was supposed to be over 105 or something like that.
Yeah. We were also chasing that storm from the night before.
Yeah, we were trying to make sure we didn't get stuck in that.
Because it was moving north, which is the way that we had to go back. So we kind of ended up in some clouds and some stormy weather, like, throughout a good chunk of the drive.
Which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
When we rolled back into Goldfield.
That was neat. I didn't expect it to be, like, sort of overcast and creepy.
Yeah.
It was, like, perfect for the...
Well, we stopped in Goldfield again to go to the graveyard because we're creepy.
Well, there's a sign right on the highway that says cemetery with an
arrow. I did want to stop there, and then everybody who I had been with before didn't want to. But if you do get a chance to go to Goldfield, go to the graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
It's so... cool.
That cemetery was pretty cool. It also dates from like 1907, 1908. And even though we had no service at the time that we were in the cemetery, I read about it when we got back on the highway as we were leaving. And the original graveyard had actually been right near the train station, which was right, pretty much right where the Goldfield Hotel is. Mm-hmm. So it had some baggage before it was even built.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was like pretty much right next to the cemetery. But they didn't want people getting off the train and staying at the hotel to be like immediately greeted by a cemetery.
Weird.
They thought that was like bad PR. So they moved it slightly like outside of the main part of town because it was unsightly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of how it ended up right next to the city dump, which was sort of sad.
Well, yeah.
Cause I didn't love that.
We were pulling up and I was like there's like garbage mm-hmm. all along the side of this little dirt road. And I was like, well, that's really disrespectful and terrible. And then we saw like this little tiny rusted out sign that said city dump. And it pointed down this mm-hmm. fork in the road. And I was like, oh.
Yep, that explains it.
Okay, so it wasn't actually people doing that, but it blew out of the city dump. So that was kind of a bummer. But we walked around for half an hour or so.
Yeah.
Like, I could have stayed there all day.
Me too.
But then the wind kicked up. But
the clouds rolled in and we were like it's going to rain. Yeah.
But it was really cool because the Goldfield Historical Society maintains the graveyard. Mm-hmm. It's all volunteers. And, I mean, we only really got to go through, like, the newer part.
Yeah, newer part.
Quote, unquote, where most of the people who had died were from the early 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was really interesting because they had maintained, like, the hand-cut look for the tombstones.
Yeah.
Like, they were the actual tombstones from 1907 or whatever. Just like a rock with someone's name and a year on it. And then in front of it, they would have these little metal plaques where the Historical Society had done the research and found out this is who this person was and this is how they died and where they were originally from and everything like that. And it was really fascinating to see how what is now like a ghost town mm-hmm. in the middle of Nevada, it used to be a boom town. Like mm-hmm. that's the other thing like I really like about Nevada history is we have a lot of boom towns,
yeah.
Boom and bust. Is what we call it. But, like, that's what happened to Virginia City.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia City used to rival San Francisco.
Yeah.
You go there now, there's, like, maybe 400 people there.
Yeah, like, nobody lives there. And I think Goldfield was, like, 230-something on the last census.
Mm-hmm.
But there's over 1,200 people buried in that cemetery.
Yeah, there's more dead people than alive people.
Yeah. So, like, you can really, it kind of gives you an idea of, like, how it was such a big town. And as we were walking through and reading all those gravestones, they came from everywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Who was from Germany, Ireland, England, Australia, all over the United States. I mean, the places of origin were just everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
It was so cool.
All over Europe and...
Well, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But
Canada, there's a lot of Canadians mm-hmm. in there.
It was very cool to see that sort of people had come... to strike it rich, right? To like make mm-hmm. the dream come true. And that's where they ended up. It was like buried in the cemetery.
Yeah. And I always think it's interesting of like, did their family ever know what happened to them? Or
yeah.
You know, did anybody sit down and write a letter to that guy from, what was he from? Germany or something? The guy who got ran over by the train when mm-hmm. it was backing up?
Yep.
And
I think he was German. Yeah.
And it was just also interesting to see, like, a lot of people died in their 30s,
mm-hmm.
like, early 30s.
Lots of gunshots.
Lots of gunshots, lots of cholera.
Yeah.
Pneumonia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we saw some typhus, some diphtheria.
That was the other one.
Yeah, it was just, it's like a history class just right there for you to read and kind of walk around. I also thought, like, being somewhat of a cemetery-ophile,
mm-hmm.
I thought it was very unique that they had those like rough hewn stones that were circling each grave so that you knew exactly where
they were.
The grave site was. It gave a kind of like a creepy feel from far away.
Which
it looked...
I thought that was a thing until I went to like graveyards in like Chicago and stuff. And I was like, wait, where's the the thing? Because... the little graveyard in my hometown and the one in Virginia City, there's a lot of graves that mm-hmm. have that. I always thought that was just a thing.
Definitely a Nevada thing.
Oh.
It looks,
so
it always,
the purple glass.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That was fascinating that people had chosen this like purple glass and sort of broken up little pieces, and they would like use it to fill in where the rock was making the border of the grave. They sort of filled in the top with like this really cool purple and sometimes a little bit of green or blue mm-hmm. glass. And that was actually really pretty. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know. I get a very calm feeling walking around cemeteries.
I
feel like I'm remembering people that maybe nobody comes to visit, you know, and like, it's a nice way to honor someone's memory.
Oh yeah.
In a very like respectful, very, you know, quiet type of way. I don't know. That's how I always feel.
Well, yeah, and especially those people who came from other countries, like, I'm sure they don't get mm-hmm. visitors.
Right? No one comes to visit them.
Nobody's coming from Austria to see their relative who died, like, almost 100 years ago.
Right.
So, but, and there was a couple of people that had some odd deaths, mm-hmm. too. It wasn't just all gunshot. Like, I mean, even though 1908 wasn't the wild, wild west, like, people were still getting shot a lot in Goldfield,
yep.
apparently.
Things were going down, I guess.
Or, you know, there was the guy who shot himself in the middle of the street
mm-hmm.
and things like that. But then there was people, like the guy who got backed over by the train. I always think it's interesting how people died in the past, because we take it so for granted now. Like, everybody just assumes you're going to die from cancer.
Yeah.
You're going to get in a car accident, but it's like back then you could like nick your finger and get an infection and die even though you were 30.
Mm-hmm. The grave digger
I think was the weirdest one.
That was a pretty weird one. The
he was, what, 70?
Yeah, and he was digging a grave and apparently using dynamite or some sort of blasting material. Because it is very rocky, right? Like, it is Nevada, and there's a lot of rock in the soil.
The guy was probably a miner.
He was probably very familiar with it, but he was blasting out for this grave, and a rock hit him in the head and killed him.
So he, like, dug his own grave.
Pretty much.
That was my question, was, like, was he buried in the grave that he was digging?
Yeah, I don't...
Or did they have to dig another one? How would you like to be the guy who dug the next one? I'd mm-hmm. be very afraid.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's him and the guy who got backed over, and then we didn't see it, but the guy who ate library paste is
yes.
in there somewhere.
Yes, if you go there, which we found out later, because, mm-hmm. again, no service. So we didn't have a map or anything. You just sort of drive up. There's nothing telling you where to go or, like, right. what to do. If you go to the back left corner, it's where the pioneer section is, like the very, very oldest mm-hmm. graves in the cemetery, the original ones that were moved from next to the Goldfield Hotel. To the like the first ones in the new cemetery. And the most famous one, like the one that gets photographed all the time, was the guy that died from eating library paste. So we missed him.
Unknown man.
Next time. We'll get him next time.
Yeah.
We'll go visit. But
I would totally go down there and just spend a day in that graveyard, because it was very interesting. And I admired the Historical Society for being able to figure a lot of that stuff out.
Yeah.
Just going off of someone's name.
Mm-hmm. And probably a lot of church records, because, like, speaking as an archaeologist, churches keep the best records for, like, births and deaths. So when you are trying to identify graves and, like, sort of reburying and renaming, re-identifying people, that's generally the way to do it, because you were born, you were baptized in the church, you lived your whole life as part of the church community, and when you died, the church was probably involved in your funeral. So they know, they kept, like, the best records about everybody, better than a doctor.
Now we have Facebook.
Yeah, now we have social media to do that.
God, her selfies.
But that was, I mean, they have the best records. Until there's a fire and all the records burn, and then you have nothing. But that is very helpful. So I'm sure the Historical Society did a lot of research that way.
I'm sure.
Too, because that's a lot of times the only way you can figure it out. People didn't often go to the doctor or anything.
And because it is rural Nevada, a lot of families will stay put mm-hmm. for a long time. Because, like, my family stayed in the same area for 150 years.
Wow.
So, I always make jokes about it, but, like, it's kind of like, well, if I did ever want to find out what happened to one of my relatives, I know exactly where to go. And mm-hmm. there's probably another family that remembers what happened to my family.
Very true.
Things like that. So, I'm sure that a lot of the relatives of some of those people are still around and they're like, oh yeah, well, family legend has it that so-and-so, this is what happened to him.
Yeah, that oral history part of it is also really helpful.
Yeah, because like, I mean, yeah, a lot of those guys, like, there was a couple of them where it just said, like, mining accident. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, what? So, despite the name Goldfield, they've mined silver.
Yes.
So, which is, you know, Nevada's the silver state, which is, I mean, we have gold and opal mines and gypsum mines, which are mostly what we do now. But, like, silver, you have to blast pretty deep sometimes. So I'm sure there was a couple of mine collapses or something. Because yeah, there was a few people where it was, like, just mining accident.
Mm-hmm. It's a very dangerous thing. And, like, yeah, you could strike it rich and sort of never have to work again. You
could.
If you survived. And then if no one stole your claim and mm-hmm. killed, you know, like, it was very dangerous. So all that, like, sort of Old West, that classic,
it's all
like,
true.
Homesteader kind of stuff, like, it's all true. And when you're out there, you really feel connected to that history when you're sort of reading about mm-hmm. it and the evidence is right in front of you. It makes it really real. And I just think that's so cool.
No, I love that because, like, I mean, and this is about Virginia City, but they used to pave the streets with silver
mm-hmm.
on accident because they didn't know
yeah.
that when you dig up silver, it's green.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were like, oh, there's a lot of this weird...
this weird green stuff.
This weird green stuff. And so they paved the streets with silver. And then someone was like, what? That's silver. And so people were running through the streets, like, pulling it up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but in Goldfield, they mined silver as well. And that is actually where Wyatt and Virgil Earp went to strike it rich
mm-hmm.
right after they left Tombstone.
Very fascinating.
Yeah.
All that Old West history, it's all connected.
I fucking love Old West history. But Virgil Earp was actually the sheriff there for a little while. And Wyatt Earp was he ran one of the casinos for a little while.
Very cool.
And then Virgil passed away and Wyatt moved on. I think he went somewhere in California. But he was there for a little while. It's like, you know, Billy the Kid was in Virginia City. And then I think Jesse James was around here for a little while. I don't even know.
Probably.
I mean, they all kind of were in and out.
They probably came through, yeah, at some point.
But it's like, but there's actually photos of Wyatt and Virgil Earp in Goldfield.
That's really cool.
Which is pretty cool.
It's so historical. It was the best town. It was so cool.
It was very cool. And we kind of stopped in Tonopah at the mm-hmm. Clown Motel.
Very creepy. Whole different level of
fucking terrifying.
A whole different level of creepy.
It's just, what is that? Sky blue? I don't even know.
Yeah.
It's like this obnoxious blue motel uh-huh. just covered with clowns.
Yeah. And all the rooms have clowns. I mean, we did not go in.
We did not because go in. I'm not going in.
Hell no.
I would rather go into the Goldfield Hotel.
Me too.
Than go into the Clown Motel.
Me too. We'll put up a picture of it. It's very murdery looking. Like, it's... I'm sure the people that own it are very nice.
I'm sure that they are.
And, you know, they stuck to a theme. They're committed.
And it usually goes up for sale every couple of years.
I understand
why.
I think
because of the nightmares that come with it.
Yes.
But I think it's also like if you're going to buy it, I mean, you can't really change it because it's a tourist attraction
mm-hmm.
at this point. And the only other thing that Tonopah really has is Tonopah Days. And then also the Mizpah Hotel,
mm-hmm.
which is another haunted hotel, but they're actually fully functioning. You can stay there.
Yep. It's a hotel and casino, and mm-hmm. it's kind of cool. It has like a little New Orleans-y vibe to it.
A little bit.
Used
to be the tallest building in Nevada.
I'm not surprised.
All 5 stories of it.
It definitely, it's right there along like the highway, which is very common for the state of Nevada. Like the sort of historic buildings tend to be mm-hmm. right along the main state routes
oh, yeah.
and highways because those were the original trails, mm-hmm. right? And like you wouldn't want to go too far
well,
off.
Wells Fargo was coming through.
Right? Like you had to kind of be right there.
Mm-hmm.
So that idea of things being really close to the highway where you can just pull off. And like we just pulled on the side of the road and like got out and took pictures of the Clown Motel. It was right there.
Cool.
It butts right up against the highway.
Yeah, it's so
yeah.
It's terrifying. And we also stopped at some equally terrifying places that have no names.
Yeah, just sort of burnt out. Like
abandoned.
Nothing.
And that's another thing that comes from, you know, horror movies mm-hmm. about Nevada, like, that's absolutely true. You can just pull over on the side of the road and there's, like, an abandoned, mm-hmm. graffiti-covered...
whatever it was.
Well, the one, I think, used to be a gas station that mm-hmm. we, like, got out and kind of explored, but I think it also... there was too many buildings. So I think there must have been, like, someone's house or something there, too. Like, there's no way that was all just the gas station.
No. I have a feeling, like, the gas station repair shop or whatever was there, and then it also had, like, you know, stores and, like, little buildings and stuff, and some of them were two-story buildings. Mm-hmm. Some were just the foundation and the underneath. They were all, like, heavily graffitied. It was very American Flats-ish, but really cool.
It was.
It's very cool to kind of walk around carefully.
I was going to say, and then, like, the redneck part of my brain, so to speak, always, like, kind of, like, my hair goes up because it's, like, there could be people living in those buildings mm-hmm. that you don't know that they're... because, like, everybody's like, oh, it's abandoned, it's fine.
Right. Well, I'm the only one here. Well, mm-hmm. how do you know?
It's not always the case.
Yeah.
And we kind of, like, peeked in the... to what used to be a window of one, mm-hmm. and there was, like, somebody had been sleeping in there recently. Yeah,
you could see, like, a sort of tarp and, like, a mm-hmm. sort of tenty type setup, because the whole building is basically burnt out, you know, like, mm-hmm. there's no windows, there wasn't really a roof, the second floor had, like, kind of caved collapsing. In. Yeah, so you would definitely need some shelter, even if you were inside the building, and you could kind of tell it sort of looked like a campsite, and that was the point where we were like, okay.
Well, yeah, because I didn't want to go near the other building, because I was like, mm-hmm. okay, well, maybe they heard the car pulling up, and they right. went to a different building, like,
yeah,
it's just, like, a safety thing.
Yeah. But
it was so creepy, and then especially with, like, the thunder clouds mm-hmm. overhead and stuff, it was very ominous.
It was. It was kind of a cool experience just to sort of stand there and, like, take in the moment. Mm-hmm. It's stuff that is very fleeting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, the next time you go through there, those buildings might not be there anymore.
Right.
Or, like, you might just totally blow right past it and not even remember where it was, and you'll never find it again.
Right.
Like, it's just those little moments, those, like, magical, mm-hmm. like, oh, this is really cool mm-hmm. kind of things. Being safe and responsible and not getting too far off the road. Yeah, and
go, Francine, don't go in there.
I just want to look. No,
no, no, no. That's how we end up on the news.
But overall, very cool little place. We can't even really tell you where it was because it was just sort of, like, on the road between two things.
It was
outside Tonopah.
Between Tonopah and Hawthorne.
Kinda, yeah. Like,
I mean, that would be the two big markers.
Mm-hmm. If you can call them that.
If that, and, like, that's a pretty long stretch of road that I just described. So, yeah. Somewhere in a 70-mile radius, there's a burnt-out gas station.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty cool, and I have to say, like, the artwork, the sort of street art, was mm-hmm. it was very varied. Little bit of everything. So that was, it was pretty cool. Like, a little snapshot of everyone that had stopped there to, like, leave their mark.
It was. And then, I don't know if you noticed, but this is just something, like, I don't know, again, I go into, like, the mode or whatever, but, like, did you see all the people who were driving past and they kept looking at us?
Yeah. Like, what are they doing there?
What are you doing over there?
We're scouting a movie location. Leave us alone. You don't need to know. I feel like we were the weird people that stopped and, like, pulled off the road, and other people were like, nope. Not going to do that.
Somebody else would have pulled off the road. I've been like, get in the car. We're going. That's how we get murdered.
Yeah.
So. We didn't really. Did we stop anywhere else?
No, not we really. Just stopped to get gas just a couple times.
Gas station.
Yeah. We stopped to get gas a few times because it's far.
It is.
Got to fill up that tank. Mm-hmm. And by that point, we were, like, getting back into northern Nevada and sort of the familiar territory.
Familiar stuff. Yeah. So we got back at, what, 11 p.m.?
Yeah, it was, like, 10:30 or 11. It was...
something like that. And I was very tired. I'd done a lot of driving. But worth it. I mean, okay, so let's recap. We saw ghost towns, mm-hmm. brothels,
mm-hmm.
burnt out, abandoned places.
A cemetery.
And... a flash flood.
Mm-hmm.
And extreme heat. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Nevada.
That pretty much covers everything.
And donkeys.
Yep, donkeys, Joshua Trees, the Alien Travel Center. I feel like we got a good slice of Nevada.
We sure did.
Yeah.
So there's more places to see. Like, we got to go to Rachel, Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know you're really super into Area 51.
Oh, yeah.
And so especially excited. Since we just watched Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
It's all coming together.
Yep. We got it.
Somewhere out there is Brent Spiner.
We got to go back and hit up the areas like around Vegas that we didn't see,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that would be pretty cool.
Maybe I'll take you to Prim, Nevada.
Ooh, what's that?
So it's on the other side of Vegas. And that is where they have Bonnie and Clyde's death car.
Oh, that sounds really cool.
They used to have it up here in Verdi, Nevada, which is just outside of Reno. But they moved it back down to Prim.
Interesting.
It's like a roadside attraction now. So.
Nevada.
But history nerd.
Yeah, it's a piece of history. That's really cool.
And then I if they took the rest of the display with them, they also have like a piece of Clyde's shirt.
Wow.
And like some letters that he wrote. And I think they have something that Bonnie wrote too.
That's pretty cool.
So outlaw history is obviously a big thing in Nevada. Mm-hmm. Even though Bonnie and Clyde, I don't think ever set foot in Nevada.
It's fine. It was a car, which are also really big in Nevada. Like sort of.
We love cars.
The old classic automobiles are huge. So I could see where like you combine that sort of outlaw history with like a famous car. It makes sense to me.
Bullet holes.
It yeah. makes sense to me that that would end up in Nevada.
I'm sure Louisiana is kind of pissed, but whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, guys. We're cooler.
It's true.
Vegas trumps New Orleans.
New Orleans has a lot of stuff. Speaking of ghosts and haunted towns.
I've never been to New Orleans, but I would like to go and check it out.
Yeah, I've never been either, but it's on my bucket list. I love if you take me to a haunted place that also has history.
I just want a beignet.
Like, you just want a beignet and not to be killed by an alligator in a swamp somewhere.
Yeah. That would be not ideal.
No.
I don't really need to go run around the Everglades. I read White Trash Zombie. I know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Not good stuff.
No. Turns out, no. You turn into a zombie, there's gators.
It's a whole thing.
You know. Not the best. But. So if you ever decide to go road tripping through Nevada.
We've got some recommendations.
There's some really cool shit to do.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a history nerd. And we kind of thought maybe we should talk about some non-pop culture-y things. Because there are so many different ways to be a nerd. And we're both history nerds.
Yeah. It was like the perfect road trip for a pair of history nerds.
And we love ghosty things. Like, I like the story. You want to actually be in the building.
I want to see it and, like, touch the stuff. And I know, I'm going to end
up. That's how you wake the spirit.
I'm going to end up being one of those people that gets haunted. I know. But, I mean, I've been in the Washoe Club. I've been upstairs in it. No. Like, that was very cool. I super dig, like, really old.
I stayed at the Gold Hill.
Yeah, you did. That's
true. I stayed in the most haunted room in the most haunted hotel in Nevada.
That's pretty cool.
And I didn't freak out, which I thought was really weird. I thought I would be the one to freak out, but our friend Becky was the one who freaked out.
You were very brave.
I know. I'm so proud. But yeah, I love all the old stuff. So, I mean, there's like some other ghost towns like Nelson, Nevada and things like that I'm sure you would like. So
there's many, I mean, it's a huge state. Like that's kind of where we started this episode, right? It's a huge state. Yes, it's got a lot of government land. And yes, it's got a lot of quote unquote empty space. But even that empty space is filled with some cool stuff. If you sort of stop and like look around and maybe go off the beaten path a little bit. Nothing too crazy. But
there's like petrified forests and there's some of the reservations have really great museums and there's just like ruins, like you'll just find like someone's chimney, like it's just the chimney of someone's house, like the house is gone, but there's just like a brick chimney in the middle of nowhere.
And then you find out that was a boom town.
Yeah,
it's like 150 years ago
of a boom town.
Yeah.
Like if you drive to Ely, Nevada,
which is the other way. That's like east to west across the state.
Yeah. So Ely is like eastern Nevada. In a lot of movies, they call it Eli, Nevada, but that's not right.
It's a Y at the end.
which is the house of another prison. But they have, on the way there, they have like they call it a castle. But it's like an old fort that's along the side of the road. And it's like 100 plus years old. And it's just there.
Yeah.
And I think it's fenced off now. You can't go in it or anything. And you shouldn't anyway, because that's very dangerous.
It's pretty dangerous, yeah.
It'll just be like, yeah, you'll just be cruising along, and then there's just some random, mm-hmm. oh, this was built in 18 whatever. And then you always find somebody who's out wandering around looking for the silver cannonball.
Sure.
So there's a lot of treasure hunters in Nevada, too, which is
very true.
Pretty entertaining,
yeah.
Honestly. But, I mean, whoever finds it.
Yeah.
I mean, that one guy found one,
mm-hmm.
but there's still another one somewhere, which if you haven't heard the legend is, like, there's a guy named Kit Carson.
Of Carson City
of
fame.
Of Carson City. He also spent some time in, like, I think he was in Texas and California and a few other states. So, I mean, he might be in your history books, too, but
mm-hmm.
He was in Nevada during the Civil War. Nevada was made a state during the Civil War by Abraham Lincoln because he needed our silver to pay for the North to win the war.
Thanks, Nevada.
Which is why Nevada is, quote-unquote, battle-born.
Yes.
And so, according to this legend, which apparently has turned out to be true.
At least once.
At least once. Because Nevada had so much silver at the time, they used to make cannonballs out of silver.
Because why not?
But somewhere along the way, Kit Carson and his band of whatever dropped a couple of these cannonballs.
Like you do. Just randomly.
And they were lost.
To time and space.
And sand. And sagebrush. And so a couple years ago, somebody actually found one.
Mm-hmm. They're real, it turns out.
I don't know if they got money for it, because technically it was on government land. But
they did find it.
They're worth a lot of money if you can find one.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, there's still one somewhere in the whole damn state of Nevada. Good luck.
it's big, like
yeah.
we said.
Yeah.
There's
Kitwell, and I think there was Fremont lost one too, mm-hmm. or like there's a couple of guys who supposedly lost one, but
it's easy to lose.
I think
I've heard
Fremont was the other guy who lost one. You know,
Fremont of Fremont Street in Vegas. Mm-hmm. Fremont, same guy.
Yeah, and the Fremont Cannon,
mm-hmm.
Which is the thing that they fire when they have UNLV football mm-hmm. games and someone scores, they fire a cannon. It's pretty fucking rad.
And then they paint the cannon blue if UNR wins, and red if the Rebs. UNLV win. So it's, I mean, Nevada's full of really cool history. I've learned since sort of, I'm a transplant, you're native to mm-hmm. the state. So I've learned a lot about the state over my almost 10 years here. And it just continues to surprise me, like, especially knowing you and sort of traveling the state with you, it's a different experience.
It's different.
And I think it's really cool. So
I
support
it's different
it.
Like when I travel with somebody who's from Southern Nevada,
because
mm-hmm. they know a lot of stuff that I don't know about, because like when we were driving along and there would be like some weird thing on the side of the road, you'd be like, what's that? And I'm like, I have no idea.
I don't know.
We don't have that in my part of the state because it's so big.
Right.
And then there's other parts of like Eastern Nevada where you're like, what the fuck is that thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm
don't
not
know.
From here.
We're close to Utah now. I don't know what's happening.
Shit gets weird near Utah.
it's got a little bit of everything. It has like something for everyone, and there's constantly new stuff to mm-hmm. find. It's really cool.
And at some point when we have time, as if, but we'll have to go to Lake Tahoe.
Yeah.
Which has a lot of haunted places as mm-hmm. well. And also Frank Sinatra used to hang out there. They mm-hmm. had a lot of prohibition things going on up there. And there's that new movie coming out in October.
Mm-hmm. About the hotel that's on the mm-hmm. Nevada-California border.
Which is a real thing.
Right up by Lake Tahoe, you can actually swim in the pool. And the pool has a line down the middle. It's like, this is the California side of the pool. And this mm-hmm. is the Nevada side of the pool. And you can, well, the Nevada side is where all the casinos
gambling.
And the gaming and everything is. So even just traveling around Lake Tahoe, you get like a uniquely California experience and a uniquely Nevada experience.
State line Nevada.
It's a very
you
cool.
You literally cross the street.
And you're in
casinos,
the other state.
And then on the other side, it's California and you can't gamble.
Yep. Taxes are different on either side of the street. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting.
It's very interesting. But there's a new movie with John Hamm coming out. It's like a bad night at
whatever they name the hotel,
because they can't use the real name, which is the Calneva.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Calneva, get it?
Yeah, yeah.
Clever.
So maybe we'll have to do an episode about that.
Yeah.
We'll go do some weird stuff up in Tahoe.
I'm down.
and then we'll watch that movie with John Hamm in it. Yeah.
I like this plan.
So we've got some time to get ready for that. But what are we going to talk about next week?
Well, as I'm sure you've heard, Ant-Man and the Wasp is out.
Yeah.
Has been for a little bit, and it's been getting really good reviews. Mm-hmm. So we're going to hop on that bandwagon, go see it this week, and then we will give you our true reactions. I'm sure you're going to hate it because you hate Paul Rudd so much.
Oh my God, he's the worst. Him and Chris Pratt, am I right? I fucking love Paul Rudd, oh my God.
So we will be Ant-Man and the Wasping it up. Try not
to have a panic attack.
Yeah, no. We'll try not to have too much waspiness for you because I know you're not a fan of the buzzing winged things.
Nope.
But we will be back next week with our review and how maybe we'll find out how it ties into the larger Marvel universe. I'm excited.
Scared.
I'm excited. You're scared. I'm excited.
I wanted to blow away in the wind.
I know. We'll find out.
We will. So. Anyway, so until then, have a good week. Drive safe, all that fun stuff.
Don't pick up any hitchhikers.
Don't pick up any hitchhikers. Don't go into abandoned buildings. Okay, bye.
Bye.